All right, big afternoon today. Big afternoon on the program.
Well, we are on several layers, we are in the presence of greatness because Eric Lindros.
No, first of all.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Eric Lindros is going to be on the show in studio.
Right, we got Big E in town.
But our host, Well, let's get back to, like, you and I, we're pigeons compared to this guy.
How did you get the call to go on the Dan Patrick show? How did they find you?
Yeah.
How did their talent scout say, there's this guy in Toronto named Brian Hayes?
And he's got hot takes for days.
Yeah.
Let's reach out and get this Brian Hayes on the Dan Patrick show.
I have no idea why they decided to get me.
How does it go down?
Well, I get the impression like they must have reached out to either, you know, our program director here or staff maybe, because people were calling me off the hook because I got home late last night.
Right.
Right. So I was at the game. I didn't get home till like 1:30. And then my girls have been sick and everything. So we had everyone in the bed last night.
Yeah.
So I'm on like 7% of the bed. I'm trying to like slither into the bed like a snake.
Yeah.
I'm on no sleep. Somehow I got to sleep in like till 9 o'clock, which is a complete rarity. Never happens in my house. And I got up and I didn't check my phone. And then Steph actually called my wife, being like, hey, the Dan Patrick show wants to have you on today. And I'm like, thinking, is this like a prank or whatever? Because we all love Dan Patrick.
Yes,
I mean, he's a legend. He's got a great show. You can hear his show on TSN radio all the time. And then I decided to look at my phone, and I realized that their producer had been texting me and emailing me, and I just had never gotten back to the guy.
Flushed him.
Yeah, basically. Just, and then I wrote him back. I said, I'm still happy to come on if you need me, expecting him to be like, yeah, thanks, pal, but actually we got somebody else.
Right.
I would have wrote 1500.00 per hit.
1500 just to answer the phone?
Why not?
I was concerned.
They have that kind of budget down there.
That's right.
When
so
I heard that you were going to be on, I was wondering if it was going to be one of those FaceTimes with you, like, over top, like, you know, the awkward ones.
Yeah.
Like,
no,
not
luckily,
just...
You know what? I got to thank them. Like, I appreciate them having me on the show. It was really cool to be on because they wanted to get the vibe in the city from the game last night, and I was in the building and obviously asking about the fan reaction with the Kevin Durant injury and all that. But they're simulcast on TV down there. And if you Google image Brian Hayes TSN...
Yeah.
There are some images that should come with a warning.
Well,
like, don't eat within half an hour of seeing this monster on Google.
But
image.
If you, like, I thought
is
the
it when
image
you're a monster
was,
like this.
Yeah, like
there's
if you look like Peter Griffin, like if they would have flashed that,
right?
We've got Peter Griffin here from Toronto. Like, they probably saw that and was like, we can't put this guy on the air.
Yeah, luckily they used a more recent picture. I think they basically just ripped off my Twitter.
But it was a great picture. That's the first thing. When I watched it on YouTube, it said Brian Hayes from, did they call it their sister station or something like that?
Basically, because the Patrick show is on up here. And the thing is, at the end, he did the big read. He's like Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog. And they're like, what kind of show is that?
Yeah.
Overdrive with Noodles and the O-Dog.
They said that on the show?
Yeah, Patrick said it.
He gave us a shout-out at the end.
Big-time shout-out. So,
I don't know if it was a shout-out, more like, what the
it's
hell?
Kind of a shot at the
what the hell is going on up there?
Do we have that clip? Do you guys want to hear like the send-off by Dan Patrick earlier this morning?
Yeah.
Host of Overdrive, Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050, our Toronto affiliate. You got to watch out for Noodles.
We tried to get Noodles, but he was too roughed up from last night.
Yeah, and the O-Dog. Oh, my God. Don't even start on the O-Dog.
I have the dump front and ready for Noodles, Dan.
They have no idea who the hell
no,
we are.
No, basically mocking the nicknames. And they're like, what kind of operation are they running up there? But I'll say this, man. Here's what I really appreciated more than anything. I was on hold for like 5 minutes before they brought me in.
Why do you think when we have a guest call in, I say to you, phone. Because when you call in...
I love it.
You just love making the guys sit there and listen to you.
It's a big program. It's a luxury to be on the show.
But you...
It's absolutely
and you get
a
pissed off when I go, the guy's on the phone right now. And you'll start a whole new conversation with him and you go back and forth.
Yeah, but dude, the way radio works, man, you're not going to stop a conversation.
Right.
Like, just halt it because
you can also transition a little quicker than you're just like, yeah, you know what, and blah, blah, blah. And all that. We got this guy in a line.
But people
you do it
like
with Ray, our own guest, every day.
Yeah.
But he likes hearing the lead-in.
That's right.
I don't mind it. Like, I don't want the five-minute one.
Vancouver Radio fired me because I said to the producer, I said, hey, bud, I did it once a week. I go, when I call in, can you tell them not to get into some big story? I'm sitting here waiting. I don't like it. And then they just called me back, and they said, we don't like your attitude, and we're never having you on
again.
Yeah,
but you also had an incident on air, I think, with them, too.
Did not.
Did you have some disparaging comments about the city of Vancouver or something? Or?
No, I just said people in Toronto don't do business like that, and they just hated my guts.
That usually doesn't work so well.
I think it was after the Joe Thornton comments and stuff.
I just basically said you never see anybody get shipped from Toronto to Van on a pro. Like, it was this.
Right. Know, it's you guys are the minor leagues and up here in Toronto.
You're the Durham Bulls.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
Yeah, so you're kind of like there was some backhanded remarks that didn't go over well. And then the fact that you might have tuned up a producer.
I got to clarify the Durant injury last night. I watched it at home, and I think that people are misunderstanding that when they saw him go down, they were like, we have a chance to win now, and that's where the excitement came from. Yeah. Not we can't. We're so happy this guy blew his Achilles. Nobody thinks like that.
Yeah.
No. Nobody thinks, oh, I'm glad that guy blew his Achilles tendon out.
I think there's a layer.
I was fist pumping in my bed because I'm like, we have a chance now. He's out of the game.
But that's
he's hurt. I feel sorry for the guy. Go ahead, get treatment. But we have a chance to win.
I think it's still, you're right. I think it's natural reaction. And then afterwards, I heard you on the Patrick show, you said it's in three layers. It's three
chapters.
It's a three-pronged attack.
That's right. It was a three-pronged attack, not a two-pronged attack.
Not the Pat Quinn two-prong.
A three-pronged attack.
I did, and I don't disagree with you on that. I just, you know, I've always said this, and I'll maintain my thought process about it. And it's not just for Toronto fan base. It's for most fan bases. 80-20. 80% love people no matter what. 20, they're dopes, they're douchebags, whatever you want to call them, and they're louder.
What's your three
20%,
chapters?
20% well, last night yeah. was loud.
Here's how I saw it play out, and I was in the building.
Right.
You know, not to play the, hey, I was there guy, but there is a difference when you were actually there
Absolutely.
As opposed to
Give
picking
us a feel.
It up on TV. I think the initial reaction was, the first chapter of this three-chapter book was what we've been talking about this whole time. This John Wick type figure that is Kevin Durant. The fans Boogie have
man
been
is showing up.
They've been terrified of this guy because of his capabilities and how big of a swing is going to come with his presence. If Kevin Durant plays, you can't beat these guys. So the fact that that mentality was steeped into the psyche of Raptor fans, and then he's going off early in the game. You know, he steps into through two big threes in the first quarter, and you're like, here we go. This guy's going to have a 40-point night.
Yeah.
And they actually are going to run off three straight wins.
By the way, he could have done that all night. He was like half jogging up the court. He would just post up.
That's what he was. Yeah, he was effectively a three-point shooter. But then when he tried to dribble, we all saw what happened. So I think, again, the initial reaction was it looked like a steal. It looked like Serge Ibaka had pulled off a steal.
Depending on what angle you're at, too.
Exactly.
Right?
Where, in fact, he just blew his Achilles out and dropped the ball.
Right.
So I do think the initial reaction was human nature.
Yeah.
You know, the sanctimony that's going around from the initial reaction I think is ridiculous because, yes, people were saying, not cheering the injury, cheering, hey, if he's down, that means the Raptors probably are going to win a title or be in a very good position because of the narrative that was surrounding
him. But it is close to.
It's very close.
Very close. So you got to be careful.
You got to be careful. But again, I don't think people were like psychotically saying, hey, thank God he blew out his Achilles tendon and he's done
Canadians.
For a year.
Well, 2 seconds later, they were cheering.
But they wouldn't do that in Philly or New York either.
They'll do it anywhere. The bad optics is the one area is you see Durant down and in the background, a guy courtside waving to him and cheering.
Right, there are
that
a couple
guy
of
was again a complete loser. That guy, but it's the 20%, and you're going to get that in every market.
Right, but again, I don't know when that shot was taken. I'm not defending that idiot, you know, or whatever. Again, I think initially people were more. I jumped off my seat. I'm like, oh, he's down.
Right,
I wasn't cheering, but I was like, he's down. Like he's look at it. He's probably done. I can't believe it.
Yeah.
The second chapter, again, was when you got into the ugliness of people that realized he was significantly injured, and there were people that were cheering that.
How loud was it? Like,
it was loud enough where you knew there was cheering.
Well, you could hear it through the TV, but yeah. It wasn't
20,000 people.
Explosive. No, it
maybe 10,000 people, or 10% of the audience, 20% of the...
a couple thousand people.
Whatever it is, 2,000-3,000 people. But it was loud enough it picked up, and you knew they were cheering, and you knew why they were cheering.
Right.
They were cheering because he was injured and he was out. And it wasn't an initial reaction anymore.
It was like,
people had embraced it. They're like, this guy's injured. He's done. He's leaving the building. I can't condone that. I can't explain that.
Agreed.
And it's idiocy and it's stupid and it shouldn't happen.
Yep.
But what didn't get picked up, I'm assuming on TV. Again, I wasn't watching TV because I was there. But then
the
building blew up with cheers for Kevin Durant. And there was a big KD chant and he got a huge applause that was way louder and way bigger than the initial cheering from the injury.
But I think that was a little bit later as he was being helped off, right?
Yeah, it was.
And
but I do think as much as, I don't personally think you should be cheering an injury.
Right.
You also don't have any obligation to cheer the guy in general in support of him as a guy that's not on your team.
No.
So I do think that whoever was doing that, and it was a large majority of the fans that decided to salute him on the way out, they deserve credit, and not a lot of people want to acknowledge that.
There were too many apologists last night, and to me it reeked of guilt. Like, right away, people on Twitter are like, Canadian way, like, to apologize after. Like, right away, I could see, like, you could tell, like, either where it was a reaction, like, this guy's down, like, holy smokes, we have a chance to win, or, that being said, side note, if he played and was healthy, there's no way the Raps, that guy is ridiculous as a player. There's way that, if he's healthy, like, that, he is the boogeyman. He is John Wick. Like, he was scary last night before he even...
Yeah,
before
but he's
he
not
got
anymore,
hurt.
So you're right. We gotta just
but then,
on and deal
like,
with
the,
that.
The point being, and I think the Raps will win, but looking at that last night, like, the reaction where actually the players were pissed, trying to calm, like, that was the bad optics.
Yeah.
That was bad. There's no getting around that.
I can't defend that. I won't defend
it. But it's only, only a small minority. It's not everyone in the building.
Right. And it would happen in every building. Of every sport. So, there's going to be some people that allow their emotions to get way too carried away. I hope we don't have a typically Canadian overreaction to that, and then we all start feeling horrible about ourselves and, you know, start campaigns about how can we apologize to Kevin Durant and how can we reach out to him and, like, it happened. Doesn't mean that Toronto's a bad city or the country's a bad country.
Enough.
Listen, we've been painted the nice guys forever, and now all of a sudden one bad thing happens and we're the worst people in the world. Let's not get carried away.
All I could think about is if you're 10 minutes into game 6 and Kawhi goes down, like...
What do you think they're going to say in Oracle?
Exactly.
You don't think people in Oakland would probably cheer Kawhi?
I don't know.
Not everyone, but I'll bet you'd have a few.
But you got to be... That's all I could think about is if that was Kawhi laying there, like, fan bases would be like, whoa, you know, same situation.
Well, Kawhi got injured at Oracle.
Right.
Back in 16.
Yeah.
And we should look that up to see if there was
People were saying there was some cheering and stuff then, too. I don't know. I don't remember. Exactly. But that's the one thing I thought about is you know, your superstar goes down, like, initially you're like, ooh. Like, you could tell it changed the narrative of the game, too. Like, both teams were kind of on eggshells for the first, like, couple minutes afterwards to kind of, like, get back into it.
Certainly wasn't the Raps, like, taking advantage of it. It's like seeing a bad, like, it was the bad injury. You're seeing it, and everyone's a little bit stunned.
The only thing I can think
of... And it's not the right reaction for the team that's supposed to take advantage of the game.
I don't know if you guys remember this. The only thing I can think of being a part of something weird like that was... We were playing Detroit in the playoffs. I don't know if you remember this. Chris Pronger got a slap shot in the chest, and his heart stopped, and he collapsed. And both sides, like, the game was secondary because he got carted off, and it was quite scary. And at that point, Detroit was kind of rinsing us like 5-1. We went through the motions. This was a different scenario. This is the finals, and KD wasn't. It's his ankle. He didn't have a heart attack on the ice.
Right.
He didn't, you know, heart attack on the cord.
That is an important part of the context.
Right.
Again, it's a bad injury. It's likely going to shut him down for a year.
Yeah.
It's going to affect his prime, his free agency. It's horrible to see. That goes without saying.
Yeah.
But it's not as if, you know, there was a stretcher that came out or something like that.
Context. Where,
I mean, it was a bad injury, and you hate to see it happen. You know, the side note on that, or the separate layer is why he was playing at all. Who deserves to take heat for it?
By the way, I think the player, and we're going to talk to Eric Lindros at 4:30. Like, the player pulls the trigger on whether they put the jersey on.
He does.
There's doctors, there's advice, but nobody says you have got to go out and play.
Well,
the player, especially nowadays with everybody kind of being their own business, they pull the trigger saying, I'm going to play.
Let me ask you guys this. Do you believe it was a separate injury from the previous injury? They were saying calf, and then last night was Achilles.
I don't know. I mean, it feels like it's one and the same. You know?
Well, that's what I think. Ultimately, I don't know if they're tied together or people are saying maybe Golden State was lying that it was the Achilles all along.
Right.
I don't know. We're not privy to that. The manager's reaction...
It's all kind of connected anyway.
Yeah. I mean, the calf... And you're right. But the manager's reaction last night... I know he's emotional, but I didn't... Maybe I'm missing something. I didn't understand it. Their general manager coming right out to the media right away...
Well, I think he felt guilt.
That's what I think.
I don't think there's any doubt there was peer pressure on Kevin Durant. I think that goes without saying. I mean, to think that he wasn't walking in the locker room and either his teammates or his coaches or the management wasn't like, hey, we're down 3-1. How you feeling?
Yeah.
Like, in other words, you think you can play?
Yeah. Can you give us something?
So I do think the Warriors probably feel some guilt today. I think they deserve to feel some of that guilt. But I'm with you, O. At the end of the day, Kevin Durant is a man, and he decided not to play the previous 33 days. He decided to play last night. It's terrible what happened, but he makes that call. Kevin Durant decided to play.
Dude, by the way, when you're together in a locker room every single day, I don't think it's peer pressure to say to somebody, it's just, hey, how are you feeling? I mean, where are you at? When people are injured, and that's probably the reason why some coaches, they don't let injured guys stick around, because they don't have to deal with that. But when you are around and you're sitting there having a coffee, watching TV, doing whatever you do in a locker room, it's human nature to say, what's your status? Where are you at?
Right, but
if you're important, if you're just some stiff that's on the fourth line or a plug that doesn't play, nobody really cares.
Yeah.
But when you're the go-to guy, people are like, hey, what's up with you?
But that's what I'm saying, though. How would he interpret that is all that really matters.
Yeah.
It may have been an innocent, hey, how you feeling? He may have heard that as, okay, you guys want me to play.
His problem.
No, it is, but that's human nature as well. The interpretation. You don't think it was in his mind, I can't believe I'm not playing, we're down 3-1? He was thinking about it.
For sure. Every player wants to play. Like, he's not... I saw his mom came out with a statement in a picture today. Like, you know, there's a lot of pride there. But he gave it a go. Unfortunately, whether he re-injured the initial injury or created another one because it wasn't stable enough... Unfortunately, he put himself out on the court, whether he had to beg the doctors or the organization was like, hey, you go out. We don't know. I don't know if we'll ever be privy to that information, but
no, I think there's going to be a lot of investigation.
You think there'll be some
leaks out
of it?
The media will be digging what went down behind the scenes. It'll come out at some point. Well, all right, Eric Lindros is in the house. And he's been working all day.
Yes, he's done the car wash.
He's been doing the car wash. He's terrifying me. He's over there just walking around.
He's like circling here.
This is so much worse than leaving someone on hold on the phone. Lindros is walking around.
He's been on hold for 20 minutes. He's ready to...
He wanted a pre-tape as much as I did.
He was hungry for a pre-tape. So we'll get the Big E in here. We'll get his take on what he's doing today, the message he's trying to get out. It's a very important one. He will be in studio next. All right, Jack Armstrong will join us in the 6 p.m. hour. He's in the Bay Area. Actually, I think he's still here in Toronto, but he'll be heading there tomorrow. Obviously, everyone's heading back out west for Game 6 on Thursday night. And don't forget to head over to the Amsterdam Brewhouse on the Queens Quay, TSN 1050's playoff headquarters. Eric Lindros is in the house. Former teammate.
Correct.
Maple Leafs and New York Rangers. What's happening, Eric?
How are you guys?
We're doing well, man.
You're busy.
We're busy.
Yeah.
We are busy.
Dan Patrick, well, welcome back.
Thank you, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
Feeling it.
Yeah.
As a star.
Yeah. Trying to big league us now, but...
Just a matter of time before I dust these two guys
losers.
Off.
Yeah. It'll be the Brian Hayes show, and that's it.
That's right. That's right. You were at the game last night, eh?
I was.
How'd you feel about that? I mean, obviously, we didn't get the result you were probably hoping for, but...
Yeah, it's close. Real close.
Pretty cool
atmosphere. I don't think... It was a great atmosphere. It was. It was terrific, with the exception of two things, was the Durant situation and the outcome, really. Right. I mean, that was it. But it was... I thought we had it. I really did.
Overshadowed all that was Lowry had the last shot.
Oh, yeah.
He nailed that.
Seconds.
That's over. They're done.
Like, absolutely. It got blocked. I mean, Draymond Green kind of tipped it.
You got a little piece of it, but
I have 17 coaches on the bench, and that's the best play.
Should have called the timeout.
Timeout.
Should have called the timeout. They had 15 seconds.
Get the Italian guy with the tie.
Well, the Italian guy, they wheeled
him. He paid a lot of money to make a play.
They wheeled him out to do an interview. He didn't speak English.
Well,
who cares?
Doesn't
he
matter,
probably
man.
Makes $2 million bucks a year.
I know, but
come
like,
up with a better play than
how
that.
Do you... I don't. We've had coaches. Yeah. We've had coaches from
get his take on
from
it,
Europe and that. But like, they had him interviewed last night. I'm like, I don't. How does he talk to the players?
Well, I don't know. I guess he finds a way. He must. I mean, they all speak a million different languages on the Raptors. It's pretty impressive.
Well,
on the court, they're speaking French.
I know
Spanish.
Listen, these guys are bright people, and I'm sure. I'm just joking that I'm sure he speaks five languages. But he was being interviewed, and I'm like, he's very handsome. He's got an outstanding suit. But I'm like, you know, with the sound and everything, him in broken English, it'd be tough to have a call.
As long as he's got the whiteboard and he can write up a play.
Draw
up the right play. Have you been in a situation like that? I mean, you guys are all former athletes. Like, when Durant goes down like that, Do you recall any fan interaction where you're like, I can't believe these people are cheering me or
you know
booing
what,
me or what?
I think you guys hit on it quite well with the noodles. I think you mentioned 20%.
Yeah.
I think that's standard across the board. But that's, you know, that's not the majority of who was at the game last night.
Right.
You know, by any stretch of the imagination. It was, you know, what happened was extremely, it was bad. It was horrible. They did applaud him. As soon as he got to the Raptor bench at the far side near Drake's seat, you know, the cheering started to occur and the KD chant. So, you know, it was that was nice to see.
Right. Nice somewhat redeeming at that point.
Yeah, a little bit, right?
Yeah.
But there's some
you get 20,000 people in that building.
There's gonna be a couple
oiled up like
people are boozing and stuff. 9 PM tip off.
There's like I said, it's not just reserved for Toronto.
Across the board you get
there's losers on every front.
Yeah.
That's the way
20% loser.
Well, that's a little rich. It's less than that, but it just sounded loud.
Yeah.
Through my TV.
Didn't look right. It didn't feel right.
Well, for the fact that the players had to calm, like that almost affected the players because you could see I think Kyle was quite...
He was the first one.
He was
quite
emotional.
Shaken, yeah.
First one, then Ibaka came out after.
Yeah, quite shaken, but they got it together, and it ended up being a fantastic game.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, those kind of buildings, like, that's what you play for, right?
Sure.
Is to have that kind of emotion in the building. Like, it has to affect you as a player, doesn't it? Like, at home or on the road, when you're playing in that kind of an atmosphere.
Oh, it's amazing. It's an amazing atmosphere.
Yeah, it was incredible last night. Eric Lindros in studio. So you again, we've been joking, you've been doing the rounds, but it's for an important cause.
Yes.
Rowan's Law.
Right.
Raise awareness about Rowan's Law. Why don't you take us through the name to begin with? What's the reasoning and what's the background on Rowan's
Law? The background is we had a 17-year-old rugby player, female rugby player, Rowan Stringer, and she suffered 3 concussions in 6 days and continued to play rugby. She ended up passing away. She died. The coroner made a bunch of recommendations. Got Lisa McLeod got behind it as the MPP of her district, and an advisory board was set up to deal with the recommendations that the coroner had. We spent about a year putting that together after all three government parties voted to push this along. Not one person voted against it. So we worked at coming up with solutions that the coroner had, and we filed it. We put it in the we passed it back to the government, and the government now is rolling out the marketing campaign and whatnot. So it's we're on the move. It's legit, and I mean it aired last night the video, the piece, and it's very strong. It's young girls playing soccer. It's a good campaign, and it's fun to be part of.
So it's provincial at this point.
But I mean, we've been at this for it's been going on for 4 years, and we have used the resources of all our top doctors in Canada. It's not just Ontario doctors. We've used everybody, and we've come up with what we believe is a good solution that all provinces can adapt. And it, in my eyes and many others, it would be great if we could all adapt and keep the name Rowan so that when you market something, it is consistent all the way across our country. We keep everything as similar as possible. Consistency it would be a big statement with that. So that's where we're at right now. We're about to roll, you know, June, July 1st, everything kicks in. And then protocol is in 2020.
Have you had any, I don't know if to term this right, pushback at all? Like, have you had any negative interactions about it?
I'm sure there's going to be some. I mean, it's inevitable that there's going to be some. And, you know, it's nothing's perfect.
Right.
But we went with the 90% rule.
Yeah.
And we think it's good for 90%. Then we agreed upon moving forward from that on those recommendations.
E, as far as the sport of hockey goes, and it's kind of a difficult question for the four of us because I think we all probably played AAA growing up.
Yeah.
And we wanted to make it to the big leagues, and hitting becomes an integral part of the sport.
Yeah.
And I don't know who brought this up. I think it was my dad. We were just talking hockey, but someone brought it up. If you're not playing the AAA level,
I'm with you on that.
There's no sense of
exactly.
There's no sense of these kids playing hockey and having body contact because it's a lesser degree. Not to say that some kid playing AA might not make it to the NHL, but why have the body contact, especially in a higher level, like a midget? I don't even know if they have a juvenile level anymore, but what's the sense?
I totally agree with that. I mean, hockey's a wonderful game, but we're seeing a lot of kids drop out as soon as the checking occurs.
And for unnecessary checking, because they're not even, like, they're just having fun. They're not going to make it.
Well, there's that part, and there's also the part that let's wait until everyone's gone through puberty. Yeah. Why can't we wait till everyone's 14, 15 years old, so at least we, you know, 80, 90% of the guys have gone through this gap. We can work on our stick handling. We can work on our skating. There's so many other elements and facets of the game that we can be working on at this time. And hitting, listen, hitting is not, we all know, hitting's not, it's not rocket science, right?
Right.
So if you're going to sit there and you're going to tell me that it's going to take you 5 years to learn how to adapt to hitting, you know, you're not going to be on the power play.
that's how I always found the biggest challenge. You're right. Like puberty, like some guy, I mean, you were a big guy. When did you?
I grew late, and I was playing up a year.
So in junior, you were a man-child in junior.
In junior, I was tall, but I was not very heavy, right?
That's where the ages, you find that there's 16. A 12-year-old, a guy who hasn't, he's still very thin, very frail, and then there's other 12-year-olds. I remember playing with Pierre Turgeon.
Yeah.
Seeing a picture of him at the Little League World Series, he was the same size as he was that we played in the National Hockey League.
Yeah, but I remember in the MTHL, I think it was minor peewee they used to start hitting.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And that's exactly, you'd be like, look at the size of some of these kids.
Different ethnicities grow it, you know, it's the way it is, right? To your point, old dog, I agree. If you're not, what's the point? Because we all stop. I mean, we look at us now, we all go out for a nice skate and we all try and, you know, pass the puck around and play some shinny. We all avoid each other.
Right. No one's trying to.
You don't need to have, especially if you're trying to enjoy the game, you know you're not going to be going to junior or you're not going to be going to college or playing any sort of pro. I mean, what's the point? Why go through it?
Eric Lindros in studio helping raise awareness about Rowan's Law and sharing his own story as it relates to youth concussion awareness and prevention. I think that's important, youth, because it feels like, you know, the professional level, that's a whole different beast to tackle, isn't it? Like, you really should be separating the two.
We have. You know, anytime you involve money in athletics, you're going to have, it's impossible to control, as you saw last night, possibly with, of course, last night with Durant.
Yeah.
So no, we focused on youth, and really we've come up with a motto. The marketing group has come up with a motto of hit, stop, sit, and really it's just saying let's be conservative about things. If you see any of the signs, there's, you know, 8 common signs that with concussion, and if you see any of the common signs, whether it's one or a combination of many, let's just take some time and pull that kid out, and let's not let him play.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just be conservative. There's no point in pushing kids further. They'll be able to get back on the ice hopefully next week or 2 weeks down the road, but why?
Who's going to determine that, though, E?
The doctors.
Yeah.
The doctors. Yeah.
It seems like common sense, though.
But listen, and some kids are going to be fine. You're going to have some hits. They're going to come to the bench.
So if a kid is pulled out of a sporting event, they have to see their family position and then them be assessed by them before they can return.
And we're trying to, and we realize the backlog that this might occur, but when we're trying to set up situations where more people are in a situation to give the check mark to make sure that you're okay to go. Listen, it's not, we're just trying to slow the process down and make sure that kids are okay. And a lot of kids are going to come back to the bench or the pitch, off the pitch or whatever, and they're going to be just fine.
Mm-hmm.
But at least we've taken the 30 seconds, the minute, 2 minutes, 5 minutes, whatever you think is necessary, and we've made that assessment. And whether it's your kid or a teammate of your kid or even the opposition, let's be looking out for each other. That's all. Right. That's really what this is about.
Well, it seems like, you know, it should go without saying, but being more educated is a good thing.
Yeah.
You know, for the longest time, it was more just ignorance than anything else. I mean, we grew up in that era. You get your bell rung, you go out there and you play again. I don't blame my parents, anybody else's parents. But now, like you see in some sports, and hockey would probably be one of them, there's a swing that's going so extreme where it's now like fear. You know, I don't know if I want my kids playing. Where really it's probably just somewhere in the middle where you educate them and they can play, but if something happens, you have to take care of
it. It's inevitable that it's going to occur, right?
Right.
As proactive we are in prevention, they're going to occur. It's just going to happen. So, you know, let's be prepared. Mm-hmm. Let's be informed. And let's deal with it. Don't give concussion the power to be anywhere near your decision making on whether or not you're going to play hockey, for instance. Let's be organized. Let's be prepared, and let's be looking out for each other.
So, where do you guys take it from here? Then it's being unraveled.
Yeah,
now
we're going to get in the schools. We're going to have lots of education through the schools, and then the protocols rolled out next year, July 1st. Hopefully, other provinces see this and will adapt it themselves and keep the messaging the same under Rowan's Law. We think that we're proud of what we've done, and it's been a big team to go forward with it. And the government has been excellent in terms of moving this along and putting money behind it. I mean, we had a 30-second clip on the game last night. I mean, that shows their commitment.
Right.
When they're committed like that, then, you know, people are behind it.
Well, best of luck with this again. It's called Rowan's Law, and it's about raising awareness for youth concussion awareness and prevention moving forward. At this point, it's provincial in Ontario, but hopefully, like you said, it goes throughout the country and maybe internationally, for that matter. Let's be honest. I mean, the whole world's going to be dealing with the same issues.
Yeah.
Best of luck with it. Thanks for popping in and waiting for us and joining us.
Keeping me on the line. What's the 5-minute rule?
What you guys got? Wasn't a 5-minute rule. It was 18 minutes. That was a 20-minute segment before we got you in here. Stuck around.
Thanks for having us, guys.
You're popping in. There he is, Eric Lindros. Yeah. One of our favorites, the Biggie,
in studio.
Sir. Great to have him here. Rays coming up. Ray Ferraro from the Cup Final just after 5 p.m. We'll get back into that Raptor game last night. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, thanks again to Eric Lindros for joining us in studio.
How's your hand? Like, did he snap your hand in half? Those bear paws?
I remember watching him in junior. He wasn't like scrawny and skinny.
He's like, yeah, I was kind of scrawny. I was like, you were a man child.
I don't remember that being the case.
It was like he was.
Maybe when he was 15.
Just ripped. Like he was 6'4", lean, mean machine.
Yeah.
But he would run over people.
All
my
the
oldest
time.
Brother played against him in junior, and it was just like, whatever, man.
Yeah. Oh, he
like he was the ultimate machine. Power forward.
The epitome of a power forward.
Yes.
He is such a large man.
He played in the Canada Cup before he played in the NHL.
Right.
With all the NHL players.
Yep. 1891 Canada Cup. And at the Gardens. He crushed someone at the Gardens. I don't remember. I think they were playing like, I think it was still Czechoslovakia at that point.
Yeah.
And he almost put this guy right through the boards at the Gardens. He was 18.
Demolish.
18.
Yeah.
The whole building just went crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. What a great player. And it was great to have him in studio, and obviously a very important initiative that means a lot to him. You know, he can speak from his own experience, and that's interesting. You know, he was in the building last night. You know, and his viewpoint. You know, I think athletes, you guys, of course, are going to have a different view. You should. You've been in that position, not necessarily Kevin Durant necessarily, but you know what I mean. Where fans get emotional. You know, they do. They do stupid things. They say stupid things.
But it's not everyone. Like, that's
why
I wanted
to close to everyone.
I think people need to get over it, man. Like,
it's not the end of the world. It's not the worst thing that's ever happened in pro sports.
People were all pissed up. They were excited. It was a big game.
Yeah.
And some people acted stupid for a brief moment.
But now,
with all the garbage that goes on at sporting events and all over the world, can't we just get on and move on from that?
And you can't paint everyone with the same brush. Unfortunately, what happens is... You do get painted. Like, Vancouver has that riot. That wasn't the whole city of Vancouver after they lost to Boston.
Oh, it was a lot of them, though.
Couple, yeah. But that's exactly what it was last night.
What if this happened in Philadelphia? Boston.
It has happened.
It just now today it's Toronto's turn.
Yeah. And it's because they're on the biggest stage.
And really we should be talking about the game. We haven't touched on the game. And yeah. I'm not saying Nick Nurse is happy that it happened. I don't think he wants his city or his fan base to be
a lot of distraction though.
Yeah, I saw the target right now.
But the fact is, this guy, I mean, that was his first big hiccup in the NBA Finals. That timeout with 3:05 left on the clock, I still cannot understand what he was thinking.
Did you know, I got the sense that Kawhi Leonard, I don't think he played particularly well. He had 1 point in the first quarter. He had a stupid pass to the visiting team bench guy.
Yep.
And I thought that moment he was like, all right, joke is over. I'm going to take this game over and give this town a championship. And he starts steamrolling the opposition. All of a sudden, this guy takes a timeout. I couldn't figure that out. It was like the most dominant player on the Raptors in that game at that particular moment was ready to give the team a championship, the town a championship, and he just was like, timeout.
Brian, you probably, because you were at the game, I don't know if you saw the presser afterwards, but we were watching it. Did you watch it?
Yeah, like, I saw it.
He was asked by, you know, a .com guy, and he didn't have much of an answer. His answer did not hold enough weight.
His answer was we wanted to get the guy some rest.
Yeah.
But you're giving the opposition rest.
Because we had two left and kind of had to use them.
You lose them once you get under 3 minutes, but he still would have had a timeout anyway. But that doesn't matter. No,
you don't put a pause. Like, if they score on that drive right there, that could have been the dagger.
Of course it could have been the dagger. It was the dagger. It's an inexcusable timeout. My fear is if they end up losing here.
There's your TSN.
That will be no. That's the Gretzky high stick. That's the catch. That's the immaculate reception.
That's the Chris Webber timeout when they didn't have.
That's what it is. That game will be known forever as the timeout because it made no sense. I mean, I was there. I couldn't believe it when he did it. I just assumed Steve Kerr called the timeout.
That's what I thought.
Like who would not have considered that it would have been Steve Kerr? Kawhi Leonard personally took them on a 10-point run. He had 2 threes and 2 twos. I have been in that building hundreds of times since 99 when it opened. I have never heard it that loud. I've never felt that type of energy in that building. The building, it wasn't exploding. It had exploded. Like, it was the roof was off. And Steph Curry missed the three-pointer, and you could sense his dejection. You could sense he was like, they're gone.
Yeah.
And Nick Nurse calls a timeout. I still can't believe it. I'm honestly furious thinking about it. I cannot believe he called a timeout. It makes no sense because he just ripped the energy right out of the building.
Yeah, that Steph Curry miss was like, it seemed like a last gasp. And it's like, okay, now just ram it. And
take it. Go in there, get the ball in Kawhi's hand. Go up 8 or 9, and it's over.
Right. It was at 6 points then, right?
It was 103.97.
I thought Kerr called a timeout, but I was like, the Raps have the ball.
I'm so sure Kerr was sitting there saying, I can't believe he threw me a bone and called a timeout. Because what they did clearly was they regrouped, they looked at each other and said, guys, like, this is it now.
Yeah,
this is it. Do not let Kawhi Leonard get open or be, you know, isolated at any point during the final 3:05. Leonard did not score another basket. Klay Thompson hit 2 threes. Steph Curry hit a three on his own. And
the scary part about it is...
There's your game.
The scary part about it is Boogie Cousins did everything he could to try and give it back to the Raptors, and Draymond Green has the over back. It was like there was a comedy of errors.
Absolutely.
From Golden State, too.
I think it was both timeouts. I don't know why he didn't call a timeout with 15 seconds left on the clock either, because I know the reasoning would have been... I have faith in my guys. We've worked on this play. We have plays. We know what we're doing. Go out there and do it.
Then that can't be the best play that you've worked on.
Well, but here's my issue with that. Yes, you practice that all the time for a game in November against Minnesota.
Right.
For a game in January on the road in Miami. Mm-hmm. Not with 15 seconds left in a one-point game for the NBA title. The fact of the matter is that's when you needed to call a timeout and settle your guys down and say, hey,
this is what we're doing.
This is what we got coming here. Because as much as you felt like, no, we're prepared for the moment. Do you know who was truly prepared for that moment? Because they had been there before?
Golden State.
Golden State was prepared for that moment. Golden State was like, we're going to double Kawhi, and we believe based on his IQ, he's going to move the ball, and then we're going to shut him down. And that's exactly what happened last night. So I can't believe he called a timeout with 3:05 left on the clock, and I cannot believe he didn't call a final timeout with 15 seconds just to regroup and let them breathe a little bit and figure out more of a contingency plan.
Yeah.
And Nick Nurse, you know, he's getting off the hook today because of the Kevin Durant fan interaction stuff.
Well, that'll die down. And the fact that it's got a couple days to breathe a little bit. Like, we're not going to be talking about the fans right up until tip-off on Thursday. Like, there is going to, you know, all the shows down south are going to be talking. They're going to do a deep dive on how that game went down. Right now, it's the low-hanging fruit. But there's enough time in between games to be breaking down some of the, you know, great plays and some of the blunders and misses. And certainly that one has been identified as... I was shocked, like, I don't... In listening to the media last night, like, that question was almost a second last or last.
I was waiting for it. We're doing the postgame. I'm like, when is someone going to get to the biggest moment for Nick Nurse to answer on?
And it wasn't our... Like, it wasn't
usual...
It was
literally... Someone from Ghana or something. It was
Horse
the Ghana
and Hound
News.
Magazine. Like,
Ghana News?
Yeah, literally. I believe it was someone from... I don't know.
We've talked about this at hockey games before. All the keyboard warriors up there, they're just ripping people, ripping decisions. Then it gets to press conference time. It's like,
hey, how you feeling after the game?
Well, people couldn't wait to ask them about the fans. You know, they couldn't wait to get the mic in. Hey, what do you think about the fans cheering that injury? They couldn't wait to get that out there. They got that question out 15,000 times last night. But what about...
But that was low-hanging fruit instead of, you know,
the real stuff.
The actual game.
The actual game. Like, what? Yeah. You know, why couldn't you execute there? Now, listen, I'm not happy with the way that all played out, but I got to be honest, I still feel very good about where the Raptors are at.
Yeah.
Because even with what went down last night, Golden State won by 1 point. And now Durant is not coming back. Looney, I don't think, is coming back.
No.
The Raptors have been great on the road. I still think, like, they're still up 3-2.
Yeah.
But they really had an opportunity last night.
Yeah. Big time.
I'm not nervous. I think this is going seven, though, for some reason. You're gonna use that as, you know, Durant's injury, kind of rally around him.
Touched on the three-point shooting, how pathetic it was.
Well, the Raptors, 25% from three. Golden State, 47%. They shot, I think 12 more threes.
Zero chance against that team with those two.
12 more threes.
They're animals from the three-point line. I can't believe how money they are.
Yeah. Well, and that's the fear if you get to a game seven. You got Steph and Clay, and they're like, okay. We're putting up 40 apiece, and let's see if it can be matched. Ray Ferraro coming up from the Cup Final ahead of Game 7 tomorrow night in Boston. We'll get back into, again, the Raptor game last night. There's a lot to continue to touch on. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.